Hello, everyone. This is Glenda, and welcome to the Blessings of Christ today. We are so glad you're here, and we've enjoyed hearing a little welcoming voices before we started. So I think we've got a good crowd developing, and I just want to let you know I got everyone's message about the blessing they would like to have. It's all in my heart. And you will be remembered. So let's just give a few more moments for more people to arrive, and then we'll move on to our little study portion. Nancy, are you here?
I'm here, and I'm so glad everybody else is, too. It's a wonderful Father's Day here in Austin, so just glad to be here. How are you, Glenda?
I'm doing a bit better. I continue to have improvements, so it's all good. And, yes, happy Father's Day to all the fathers in our community. You are a pillar of your family, and I know you're very, very loved. It's a very wonderful thing that you're also doing to create and build, a spiritual direction for your family. We know they need you for their physical and material sustenance, and you work very, very hard to be a breadwinner. Not to say that their mother isn't always also a breadwinner, but today it's your day to be celebrated, and we know that you take that very, very seriously about knowing that your family is taken care of. And I'm glad that those of you who are here know that there's many more ways to be taken care of than just money in the bank and food on the table.
Amen.
So, yes, you are being a very, very respectful parent to take that extra step and be a light on the pathway of leadership for your family. I was speaking with someone a few days ago, and leadership came up as a compliment for me. And I said, well, you know, I just have a good one to follow. Leadership is not about a person. It's about a pathway. And so when you create a good pathway for your loved ones to walk on, then they also become leaders for one another. And I think that's, if I would notice in any way in my life with my friends, my family, one of the biggest differences between mom and dad is mom, looks inward to the family to make sure everyone is cared for and loved and united in the common good. Dad strikes forward to move the family in the most positive direction that it can. And that's a dad's very special form of leadership. So I celebrate you for that and everything else you do. It is your day, and I hope that you're receiving lots of things you love, from hugs to candy kisses, all of it. I hope it, whatever's on your list, I hope you get. And many, many blessings to you. Well, Nancy, we've got a good crowd here, and it's about
we
time
do.
That we... Yeah, and I'm glad, because there could have been a lot of distractions coming in today.
For sure, yeah. But that's beautiful what you said just now, though, Glenda, because I will just briefly say that really kind of sums Gary's pathway and his father in a nutshell. He really was a leader, and it really was about the pathway. I see how all of his brothers are fathers, and Carl started that, and maybe his dad started that. But that's a nice way to think of it. Thank you for helping us with that, because that's a beautiful honoring that goes
way back. It's just nature.
You
You know, it's just nature, Nancy. I think where we go wrong in every form of human relationship is deviating away from nature. Nature was created by God, and through nature, we're always led and inspired to do the right thing. Now, we're going to be talking about that chapter in the book, not today, but down the road. We're building the pathway today, and I thought the most appropriate chapter to begin with for our special group is the blessed life. We're here for blessings, and we've worked very hard for many years and months and years to bring that subject into a clearer focus, like what is our part in it? How do we receive? How do we pray? How do we look for the blessings in our life? And it's a very big subject. And Yeshua covered it in depth in his Sermon on the Mount. It's broken into several parts, and we're going to look at part two today. So is there anyone not you, Stormy. We'll save you for later, because you don't really have questions. You've got answers. Okay. Anyone with questions about the blessings we talked about last week? The first blessing being, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Anyone want to make a comment on your epiphany? Or your need for understanding, or okay. Well, then we're just going to move on, and we'll take it up as we go. So,
perfect.
All right. The second blessing, which is on page 233 of chapter 9. The blessed life. Now, the chapter would be the same in all editions, but not the page numbers, because as we edited and revised, moving into our final edition, the fonts changed, the spacing changed, and thereby the page numbering moved a little forward or a little back, depending upon what happened inside that particular chapter. But it is page 233 here. If you have a different edition of the book, it's okay. You're not missing a thing. Just go to chapter 9 and look for the second blessing, which will actually be in bold letters where it says the second blessing is. So you can't miss it. And the wording will be identical. Nothing he ever spoke was ever changed as we moved through the different editions. It was just the organization of text or additions of comments from me or the correction of grammar or sentences or something of the sort. So here we go. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. I didn't plan it this way, but how perfect is it that that would actually coincide with Father's Day, considering that we could have wished our father on his way any number of months, years, or even decades ago. Mm-hmm. And yet we still notice his presence with us. And even if this doesn't apply to your father, perhaps it would to feelings you have about your grandfather or even your great-grandfather, because the generations move with us. They move through time and space, and their residency within time and space doesn't go away. It just stops being newly created because they are transported to another place where new life is being created for them, but in another dimension. They're just not in this dimension. We, at first, we feel the loss when they leave. And we feel it shockingly sometimes, bitterly in sometimes, and woefully most of the time, initially, because some presence very beloved and necessary to our life. Not just beloved, it's necessary. Without our Father, we wouldn't be here. Okay? And without His provisions in our childhood, what would life have been? And I just want to build on that thought for a moment, that we might in our blessing ask for care to those children that do not have an active father in their life right now in this day. My heart goes out to them, because the presence of a father is just as essential as the presence of mom. They offer different aspects of love, but in each and their own way, that which is necessary for moving into a fully developed and balanced, fulfilled life. So we ask for prayers for children that don't have that benefit. And we pray that surrogate fathers will emerge in their life, whether it's a grandfather, an uncle, a stepfather, or an adopted family, that someone will come and fill that place, because that place needs to be filled. So we pray for all children that they have the grace, the strength, and the glory of a father. It is a gift of enormous blessing. So as we open into this recitation from Yeshua, reciting those words, I'll repeat them again. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Reciting those words, His voice was very beautiful. My face must have revealed some discomfort, because in a caring tone, he asked about my concern. I was remembering my own sorrows, and frankly, they did not feel like blessings. Again, there's an issue, he said, with words and meanings, which has suffered in translation. In Aramaic, mourning could mean sorrow, grief, pain, or regret. Most of these meanings have negative connotations and suggest clinging to loss. However, there's an even more important meaning that could be expressed only in a context which focused upon the value of mourning. I was referring to the act of purging and releasing. This is quite different from the internalizations of sorrow and loss. When a person first recognizes and experiences grief, it comes as an affliction. First, there's shock, then depression. And so one turns within to suffer the emotional and spiritual wounds. This is grief. As the process completes itself, in the latter stages of surrender, there is mourning. Mourning is the free flowing of tears as acceptance and releasing are experienced. In that state, the heart can perceive continuity of life even though certain attachments have been lost.
Mm.
In letting go of that which cannot be retained, one heals. It is through releasing that one is blessed. Grieving is clinging to that which has been lost. Mourning is the act of letting go. No one feels blessed at the onset of grief. Never would I suggest such a thing. Yet in the releasing of grief, through purging, relinquishing, and the flowing of tears, healing can occur at last. This process is relevant to the loss of anything, not just the loss of a loved one. The loss could have been of a dream or a hope. Even sensing childhood slip away could bring on a time of mourning to honor the love that is being released. Such purging opens a space in which to celebrate a newly emerging stage of life. There are also times to acknowledge the end of a career. Or role in life. In releasing and honoring what has been, there may be tears. But there will also be doors opening to future possibilities. Accepting this process is great therapy and can result in many blessings. This is because there are two parts to grow. Accepting and letting go. Only through living and understanding both phases of love is a being complete.
Mm.
The reaching, connecting, and embracing aspects of love are easy and joyful. Letting go and saying goodbye is a great deal more difficult. There is a time to release everything.
Mm.
And in releasing, you let go of the clinging, and you are made whole again. Thus, you are blessed.
Wow.
Those are the ends.
That's a blessing.
Yeah. Yes, it is, my dear. It is a great blessing. And it's a great blessing to know and accept that there are some things in life we cannot change. We have to accept because we cannot change. As long as we are in the material dimension of reality, it has to be refurbished. The old house has to be resupplied with new plumbing, to use a metaphor Yeshua might choose. Has to be replumbed, a new roof, new fittings, and a new style for a new family to come in and live in it. Everything in the material side of the universe is subject to growth, development, passing, and reinventing. That cycle goes on forever, and we agreed to become part of that when we were born. Well, so did everyone else we love agree to that when they were born. So it's a natural thing, but it's still a shock. And I'm going to tell you why. Because we, the soul, are part of an infinite dimension of life and continuity and reality. We bring our infinitude into the material, and we expect that our infinitude will change the material into something that will last forever. But it doesn't, because the material is exactly that. It grows through cycles of creation, and those cycles of creation never end. And it's okay to cry at the loss of someone. Yeshua wept openly when he saw Lazarus. Well, Lazarus had died. He was already in the decomposing stage when Yeshua found out about his life and went to the tomb. So necrosis was already throughout his whole body. And yet Yeshua infused life into it, and it rose from the dead. Now, I personally, this is just me, but there are hints of this from some of the apostles. One of them would be Paul, in his words, I believe it was to the Corinthians, about the rebirthing of the human body after the second coming of Christ. And they wanted to know what the new bodies would be like. And he described them as being composed of life and light and not perishing, but being on this earth. So I have been promising to get you a quote of that for ages and ages. I've got to do that now. I just have to. I mean, it's imperative today. But getting back to this blessing today, we are blessed partly because we can release our anger that certain health treatments didn't work, or our guilt that we're living on and our partner is not, that we will have to carry on here, and our partner is going to be terribly missed, and they don't even know if he or she will miss us. We can assume they do, but being in the blessed bliss of heaven, maybe not. Maybe they've got the grander picture that just knows we'll be coming soon. You know, just let us finish up this life and have the best one we can have and get on with it. So we don't know what they're thinking. And we wonder. And we wonder if there's something else we could have done. Well, part of the blessing comes from the freedom of letting go. Yeshua knew it was going to be very, very hard for the apostles to let go of him. And so he accomplished this in stages. He rose from the dead, meaning he infused his body with enough life, enough spirit, enough of himself as a soul, that he was able to be with them again as a person. But he prepared them for the time when he would leave again. And he did, but he sent back the Spirit of God to be with them to carry on, because he knew they couldn't really totally do without him. So he was very, very responsible and loving, but still he practiced the essential and necessary proposition of letting go. This material realm is a little bit like a snapping turtle. Once it's got you in its clutches, it wants to hold on to you. And not just you. This is the whole anatomy of addiction. This is the whole anatomy of obsession with certain things you love, even if it's not an outright classical addiction. You love the mountains and you wouldn't want to live anywhere else. Well, the time will come where you need to go live in heaven. And I don't know if there are any mountains there, but maybe God create your son. So we have a huge misunderstanding, or I should say limited understanding, of what love is. And there's nothing that teaches us more than mourning, grieving, leading to mourning, and the resurrection of our own soul from that state of mourning, getting back to life. It teaches us things about love we otherwise could not know. Most of us, from the time we're little kids, when we want a toy, we love it and we never stop talking about it until mom or dad gets it for us. And maybe they hold it as a surprise. So Christmas can be a very special time for opening that certain package that we've been wanting for 5 or 6 months. Okay, we get it. And we think, I'll never let go. And I'll never share it either because it's mine. Okay. And we think that's what love is, that love is this blissful attachment we have to things, ideas, people, places, activities. We think that love is the act of joining, holding, appreciating, adoring, admiring, and really selfishly owning something. And we don't get that. There's another phase to love. And that's where unconditional love has to come in. Sometimes our very best friend in life has to take a different path. And she or he is not going to keep going our way. And all we're going to have are memories, unless we keep up a fairly pleasant relationship and see each other on certain reunion days or anniversaries. We've gone another way. We have different kinds of partners. We have kids. We've got the kids in different kinds of schools. We decided on different pathways to God. It's just different. When we're at our graduation, our high school graduation ceremony, we all are signing each other's annuals, and we make a pledge never to lose contact. But what happens? 5 years later, we have our first class reunion, and only if we're lucky, 50% of the people show up. And of those 50%, we have to reintroduce ourselves because we don't recognize each other. And it gets less and less every decade. I had my 50th anniversary. That's the last one I've been to. And out of the graduating class of 200 people, only 15 showed up. Okay, where are we? Are we having a little bit of any ideas on this, Nancy?
Are you hearing something?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, I'm getting a clear signal, so.
Okay, good. All right, I will go back to now that I finished reading, and I'll see what I can check on my side. I just want to make sure we're getting clear signal, good recording. It looks fine. All right. So only 15 people showed up. Now, it wasn't sad. It was great. We had a wonderful time. But and most of our time was actually spent remembering all the people that didn't show up. It was amazing. But, you know, that was therapeutic, giving them the right not to be there. That's part of living. And that's where grief is gone, and in fond memory, there may be a few tears shed, but it's the tears of joy that how nice it was to know one another when our lives were young and fruitful and years existed in front of us. And I think that's what Yeshua was really getting at, and in so many other places in Love Without End, he referred to the two sides of love. It is about allowing other people to have their reality and their differences. And it's not always a subject for disagreement. It's just a subject for realizing and allowing that our world is a very diverse place. This is at the heart of, I think, a lot of the problems that we are having trying to form a global community today. We are, we're encountering people with very different life rituals and beliefs and hardships and needs. And we are feeling, we as members of this community, I'm just referring to that right now. And I think we've got members in this community from just about everywhere. So we're very, very inclusive. But that turmoil still exists because we don't know how far to allow. Well, Yeshua said, he told us how far to allow. He said, here's how far to allow. Love your enemy. And in a passage that's closely connected to that, he was admonishing and chastising the apostles, saying, well, who couldn't love your brother? That's easy. You love your family. You love the people close to you. You love your people, the people that do life as you do life. Try loving someone who's very different. I mean, he really, those are my words, but that was his message. And I'd like to use my words because I know they'll ring home to you. And you'll get the meaning, exactly what I'm saying. Like, who couldn't love their brother? Well, I've known a few people in my life where the brother was the hardest to love, but that's rare. It's unusual. And even then, differences usually can be reconciled easier than they can with someone who would just as soon kill you as to talk to you. But try loving your enemy. Well, that was, I don't think he really meant saying to the apostles, invite the Roman soldiers to dinner. I don't think he was saying that, because the Roman soldiers would invade the house and scoop up the dinner and take back to all the soldiers. But he was really expressing to them the spirit of the goal. The goal, where we're headed. We need to go as far as it takes to include those who are different from us. And that doesn't mean give up common sense. We still need to have common sense, you know. We're not going to go out and hire a horse trainer. I'm speaking as a Texan today, a horse trainer to come in and recalibrate my computer. The ability, the training, and the knowledge don't always translate directly. But the horse trainer might actually have a tech person, because, you know, horses are very, very expensive investments today. And they're managed by very high-tech medicine and veterinary services. So that horse trainer might have a technician he could refer to you. In other words, there's no one who should be eliminated. We just have to use good sense about how we connect for the purposes and the goals of our life. And so that's my take on inclusion and diversity. Diversity, you know, we keep asking, there's an old saying about insanity. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, getting the same results and never changing what you do. Okay, I don't know if I would say that's an all-inclusive definition, but it's certainly a workable one and a limited basis, and it's kind of cute. And I think it's something we can use, but it also applies to limited inclusion of people in our life. If we keep asking the same people for advice, we're going to get the same answers. And you wonder why you're not getting new information. Well, you may have to step outside your limited box of who you're talking to, who you're questioning. So the whole idea of inclusion and diversity and equity are very, very relevant as long as we can be sensible about them. Equity, of course, is, in my understanding of the way it should be, is giving everybody a fair chance to have what this nation was founded on, to have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It doesn't mean equal ability to perform heart surgery if you're a nurse therapist versus a cardiologist. You know, we gotta have good sense about all of this, and still these terms apply. They apply. We just have to not take them in an extremist kind of way that has an IQ below 100. So I want to create an expanded tolerance, an expanded inclusion, and an expanded reality for what can and cannot work. There comes a time when we need to let go of things that no longer work. I admire the Amish for continuing with their horse and buggy traditions, because it's their tradition and it works for their unity and their cohesion. But I would not want to take that on to the LA freeway. That's a good way to lose some precious Amish and have a 5-car collision. So there's a time and place for everything, as Solomon wrote very beautifully. And in this material world, times change. Because in this material world, there is matter, energy, space, and time that makes up everything. And we've got to fill the spaces with those things that bring meaning and purpose to our life today, and let go of those that don't. And there's a time for everything, and a time for letting it drift into the past. Sometimes I will question myself on that, and I will think, with the condition, with what we're going through with our nation today, and so many breaches or near breaches of our Constitution, I'd like to bring in all the founders and the writers of our original Constitution, put them around a round table and get their opinion on this. And they would come in because of their wisdom, and they would say, look, kids, we gave you a starting point, and we'd just be happy if you respect the starting point we gave you and adapt it with good sense to all the changing times this country will go through. We, in fact, wrote that to you and encouraged you to update. And we're just asking you, you know, honor the spirit on which this nation was founded. And we didn't do everything perfectly. You may need to let go of some things we didn't do right. Because hopefully, through the centuries, you will learn some things we missed. So I had that conversation with them myself. And I don't know if they actually showed up to the round table, but it seems to me like they did. And we had a great conversation. And I wrote down everything. Maybe it'll be a little pamphlet someday. But that conversation has a lot of bearing upon this blessing, because we have been blessed with a great nation, and may it ever be great. In order to stay great, it has to grow. It has to keep up with the times. It has to honor people who were not here in the 18th century. It has to honor realities that were not part of the 18th century. And we have to grow without fighting. And I know we can. I know we can bring peace to and love to our resolutions. And all it takes is knowing a little better what love includes, because it's not just about attachments. It's not just about praise and union. And I think all of our fathers that have gone before us on this day would definitely encourage us to consider that they're still with us as a cornerstone of the building, but there's still a lot more bricks to put in place. So we build through time and space, and we can't do that if we don't mourn and let go. We have to. We don't want to, but we have to. It was very, very hard on me letting go of Larry. Not just because he was a life partner. That was hard enough, but I got over that part real quickly because, you know, actually he was almost 82 and he had serious health problems, crippling health problems for years. And I was glad he was in peace. I wouldn't have cried very long about that, but what about the dreams we created together? What about the purposes, the church, the goals, everything that we joined to co-create? It all fell on me now. And I had to continue, but if I continued trying to also be him, then I was crippled. I couldn't do it. I had to let go of his ideas and hope that they would percolate from Yeshua through me perfectly into the future. And I think they have. And I'm here happily and joyfully, hopefully, with visions for the future. Writing a new book. Oh, and by the way, we now have a cover for our book. A few people have seen it. Nancy, what did you think?
Wow, you guys are going to love it. It's so beautiful. It's incredible. Is that the first attempt? I'm just blown away.
Yeah, well, it was the first attempt, but we added a staircase behind this whole thing. So,
oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so, it's...
That makes sense. The only way out is up. That makes sense. The only way out is up.
I'll be sending you guys a picture of it when we're ready to actually announce the release. But the writer still has to get a few more messages downloaded from the author and send them off to the editor so that we've got the whole process completed. But I think it's going to be coming very, very soon. We're getting close. I can smell the dew on the grass.
Yay. That's so great. Everyone is so excited.
That's good. All right. Well, I think that's what we needed to cover for today. And now let's, well, Nancy, let's open the board. And,
okay.
I want to thank everybody again for sending me your blessing requests. I've got them all. And if anyone wants to comment on our, be part of the discussion today, call in.
Have Stormy's line open.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, Stormy.
This is really good. This is really good for Father's Day. Recently, my grandson, out of the blue, has just been calling to talk to me.
Wow.
And what a blessing. He is in trouble. His soul is greatly disturbed. And he just intuitively knows to call his grandfather just to talk about life and therein receive some support for himself. What a blessing.
Oh. How old is your grandson?
Caleb, I think, is 25 or 27.
Oh, okay.
So
he's a young man.
He's
a young man. All right.
And on the mourning thing, I never have tears of sorrow anymore. I only have tears of joy, even in my mourning. And the fact that I can mourn, I consider it a blessing that I can care. It is
exactly.
Because I can care that I can mourn. But even in that mourning, I still do not have tears of sorrow that sting my eye. They are tears of joy, Glenda.
That's it, Stormy. That's it. You know, and when we can mourn in that way, we are experiencing the true elixir of compassion. I think there is nothing that blesses us more than compassion. It is the highest form of love expressed.
Just the fact that I can. I am aware and I care, but I do not let it overwhelm me. I understand and see the joy that follows. I get to see so much joy. You know that about me.
Of course. Of course. And that's very endearing of you, Stormy, and we know it will always be there. Always.
And I do ask for a blessing for my personal health, because here today it has been in a serious, it's been very difficult, and I'm looking for this blessing call to renew my spirit, which sustains my body. And that I overcome the physical difficulties I'm going through today and yesterday, that I should have been in the emergency room, but I ain't going. We're going to use my medication and this blessing call to renew my body through the renewal of my soul.
Oh, thanks for asking, Stormy, and you will be blessed. I'm so sorry to hear that. But I'm grateful you ask, because you will be blessed. And mm-hmm. you will be cared for as you as you've cared for others.
I just acknowledge what needs to be done.
Yes. Good.
All right.
We love you, Stormy. Yeah, we love you, Stormy. And you are going to receive a powerful blessing.
Sure.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Stormy. Well, anyone else that wants to share an insight or something that was expanded for them today, we have an open board.
Well, how about you, Nancy? What did you get out of our call today?
Well, you definitely gave a wider perspective. You always do. It seems like because you've been living this and received it, you know, directly through Yeshua that, you know, like you said, you bring it in your word so that we can really take it in. And, you know, giving us that whole cultural background into our world and the challenges, it's just really beautiful. But, you know, I keep thinking about this thing for my sister, obviously, and shared that with our community and her struggles. And we're coming up on the 2-year mark. And, you know, I keep thinking about, you know, what he just said and what you just read, that, you know, when you're in that state of releasing, that your heart can perceive a continuity of life. And that's where she's stuck. There's no sense of life. And I'm just so amazed how he's always bringing it back to the Sacred Heart and the power that's there, you know, that's available for us and to transform us so that we can, you know, be the love that we are in more and more expanded ways. So this is such a potent blessing. I've used it so many times with people that have lost a loved one, Glenda, and it has richly blessed people when they gain this understanding about purging and releasing and letting go. And that there's the clinging side. But isn't it interesting that clinging really does, he says, it's like the opposite of wholeness, you know? Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, you're not complete unless you go through both of these experiences. And so, not that you want to welcome them, but I guess you have to at least be open to them when they come, because, you know, grief is not, that's the unwelcome part. But the rest, you have to welcome that acceptance and that releasing. It's just a powerful, powerful blessing. I'm feeling we're all just sort of marinating in this blessing today, especially relating to our dads, as you set it up in the beginning. So thank you. Just really, really great.
Oh, yeah. Well, Tim, he's the one that gave the message. I just read it.
Well, we do have a few more folks.
Yeah, we do.
I know you.
That's great.
And you read it beautifully. We have Ken. I'm going to open his line, Glenda. Let's see what Ken has to say. Hi, Ken.
Oh, hello, Glenda. Hello, Nancy. It's so great to be here and just kind of hearing the thoughts and the wisdom that's kind of coming through in the moment on this beautiful Sunday and beautiful Father's Day, and just trying to find a little bit of our section of peace in the world. So I just mm-hmm. really appreciate that bit of what you all create every single Sunday. And, you know, one of the things that I'm continually touched by, because I try to go to various services in the morning and listening to all the talk of God and Jesus and love and forgiveness and all these different things. And I know, Glenda, I've talked to you about this before, but I feel like the one thing that's missing is understanding the truth. And there's so many different levels of what truth is. We have our own spiritual truth and mm-hmm. soulful truth and truth in the world, and truth in how we see the world, and the truth of or deception that occurs within our mind versus the intrinsic truth that occurs within our heart. And to just, I literally see the love, the compassion, the forgiveness as kind of like one side of the coin, and the truth is the other side of the coin. And you've got to hold them both, because if you don't, you can get anchored into your heart of this is who I am and this is what I'm standing for. But at some point, you also have to be in the world and say that amidst all of the nonsense, there are certain things that absolutely are immutable. And I just feel that's very important.
Yeah,
I agree.
There are. And we didn't create this universe. So
no.
we need to respect these rules, because we were given the privilege of living in this universe and co-creating further into the future with the Creator. He didn't stop creating. He just got to the point where he needed a lot of co-creators. And so he gave that invitation to us. But that doesn't mean we're supposed to make the rules.
No. I mean, I think it's kind of funny. He, you know, at some point, you know, you've been teaching your teenager how to ride a bicycle and, you know, try out the car, and finally just simply say, give him the keys and say, let's see what you can do. You know, if you can pull it off, then great. If you can't, well, I hope you don't get banged up too much, but we'll get you out of that too if that happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's the way it is. But, you know, the kid didn't design the car. The kid has to learn how to drive a car. It's not do anything you want. And all of life is very much that way. There are rules.
Mm-hmm.
There are boundaries. There are freedoms. And we have been invited to co-create, not co-plan. We're not the planners. We're the co-creators. And I think we'll confuse that.
Absolutely. So let me jump off the line here, but I also want to ask for a blessing for my son, Bryce, who's 32, and he's a very wise man, but I think he could use a little bit of support in terms of understanding some of the specifics of relationships, and then also a blessing for his mom, Betsy, who also is another magnificent person, but I think she's kind of going through some struggles as well. So with that, I yield.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ken, and thank you for asking on our behalf and all that you brought to our call today. We really appreciate you and love you. We have two more callers, Glenda, so if we can get them in, we have Jack.
Hi.
Oh, hi, Jean. I'm sorry.
Yes. My question is very simple and quick. It's about the inclusiveness, that what is Yeshua had to say about gay and lesbian? Are they really sin, being gay and lesbian?
We never touched on that subject, Xenia. Never. Back in the day when he was visiting me, it was not a social It was hardly even a social subject, not much less not a controversy. So it just wasn't anything that came up in my mind to discuss. And we stayed with what was relevant at the time. So I can't answer or help you on that, Xenia.
Ooh, so because, you know, those Christian communities are so heavily condemned gay and lesbian, and I personally feel it's really mean. They're being very mean.
It is very mean, and it comes from fear. They're afraid that some fundamental law of the universe is being broken. And I will say something. I started to say when Ken was on the line, but he seemed to need to go, and we needed to take more calls, so I didn't. But what I wanted to say is there are numerous levels of reality that we transverse in life, and you're very familiar with most of them. There is the sublime level from which we came to which we return, And we bring with us the ideals we experienced in that place. And one of the things we learn early on in life is that there's a very solid reality here, and we can't fly just because we flap our arms. You know, birds can fly, yes. If we want to fly, we've got to invent a machine that helps us fly. You get the drift of where I'm going. So there, we come into this universe with the ideals of a higher place. And then we come through the various densities of life and into nature. Nature has some very strong laws. You can't not breathe for a while and stay alive. You know, there are just laws to natural life. And there are laws to the geological universe, and there are laws to the cosmological universe, and there are laws to the electrical, magnetic universe. So there are laws and boundaries all the way up and down the scale. But the one area of life that was given to us, that level of human social reality, God said, I'm leaving this up to you guys. And we haven't done a very good job of it. This is the area we have the hardest time finding truth. Really, you could go into a science lab and you can find the truth about some particular mineral. And it's always that way. You know, you could compare religious beliefs throughout all the religions insofar as they view the highest level of possibility for a soul or an existing life entity. And they're all very similar at that highest level. You don't have a lot of disagreements. You get into the human social world, and this is where we fight because nobody agrees with anybody. And sometimes people are really very mean about what they say and they do, and they're willing to kill for what they believe. And, you know, this is the trouble.
The worst part, real quickly, it was they used Bible, say, Bible condemned, like, gay and lesbian behavior.
The Bible doesn't talk about either one. There are some subtle references, like, a man cast his seed aside. Well, that could have just been a birth control method that he was using with his wife. You know, the Bible is not explicit on those things. But people who have an attitude will read into it whatever they want to read into it.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay. So, yeah, there have been passages from the Bible that have been used to justify a belief. Personally, I stay with what Christ said. I like, because he wasn't born for no reason. He was born because humans were messing it all up. We were getting everything wrong. You know, and we were about to destroy ourselves, really. And
yeah.
God said, okay, Yeshua, son, I hate to do this to you, but you got to go in and straighten this out because they're not going to straighten it out. Okay, so I kind of go by that, guys, and I listen to what he says. And his number one and two commandments were love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. As yourself. Now, that didn't say you only love one kind of neighbor. You only love one kind of person. You know, we've got to stretch this definition of love because we like to make it very, very narrow. Well, I'm going to love, well, okay, I'm a Christian. I'll sort of love all other Christians, but the ones I really do love are Roman Catholics, or maybe it's Episcopals, or maybe it's Methodists, you know. You know, I love them all in general, but the only ones I'm going to invite to my house are the ones that go to my church. Well, that's where he would say, well, anybody can do that. Yeshua would insult you if you said that to him. He would say, well, what have you done that anybody else can't do? You've done nothing special. He wouldn't pat you on your back and say, oh, good, you love other people who are just like you. He would say, stretch the envelope, get out of your zone of safety, and find the love that exists in other people that you couldn't see otherwise. And you have to consider, we have to consider sometimes that when people are very different from us, that people like us are the ones who shunned them, drove them off to where the only way they could find love was to be different. You know, we have to learn that love is the most important factor that governs our life. And as long as we're learning to love better, who of us can say we've never done anything wrong? Who of us can say we've never committed a sin? Who of us can say we've never judged a person? Or we've never moved off of the straight line? You know, that's how Yeshua ended the stoning of the prostitute. They were about to stone her to death, and he stepped down and he said, wait, okay, who of you, you can cast the first stone who's never committed a sin. Well, that kind of stopped that rowdy behavior right in its tracks. And so I think that's something that we need to keep in mind whenever we see a mob ganging up on people and trying to make people who are different wrong. Until you've walked in somebody's shoes, you don't know what they're going through in life. So give them some space. That's my opinion, Genius.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I live. And I learn from the best. I don't always live up to his teaching because I'm human and I'm struggling. And sometimes I do miss the mark. But I still keep going back to the best for my teaching, and he's the best. The best I've ever found.
Amen. Thank you, Jenya.
You are welcome. Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Was that okay. It, Jenya?
Oop, I clicked her off. Sorry, but she can. I'm sure okay. She can hear you.
Linda, okay. Can you hear me?
We have Blake.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hi, Blake.
Hi. Just wanted to say thank you for letting us join today's service, and just love you so much. I mean, you all have love and light, and it's always a blessing to listen.
Well, thank you for thanking Glenda, because we all thank you, Glenda, today.
You're very welcome. It's my pleasure. Well, there's no greater joy that I can do than serve him, because, just sitting beside him on the park bench is my pleasure. And he lets me talk as long as I don't get something wrong, and then he'll tap me on the shoulder and say, you might want to rethink that one, Glenda.
Yeah, we all learn loudly. We're just stumbling.
That's right. But the thing is, we're trying. And that's what, if you're trying, if you're living in the spirit of love, living in the spirit of tolerance, you also have the right to use good sense about what's going to work in life. Because even though we have a lot of trouble understanding one another, tolerating one another, forgiving one another in this realm of social reality. Okay, let's just call it what it is. It's social reality. We have a lot of trouble there. I personally like to get back to nature, because nature doesn't have any trouble following its own rules.
Oh,
I mean, I like to pray because God has no problem following his own rules.
Huh.
Yeah.
We're the wishy-washy ones.
That's for sure. Always a blessing to join in, Glenda, and thank you so much. Just have to say it. Shout out.
Well, you're welcome, and happy Father's Day.
Thank you, Blake. Well, Glenda, we have a clear board, and we are a little after 4.
Yeah.
I do want to just add my sister Cindy the blessing. So I just want to, I know Yeshua knows what she needs, so we'll just have her there in our precious blessing circle today. So thank you.
Okay. Well, she's in my heart, on my list, and yes, she will be blessed. All
thank
right,
you.
My friends. Well, let's just, what we're going to do is we are going to close the Q&A session, and we're going to get ready for the coming of the Holy Spirit into our life. And the best way I know for that is just to surrender in the sweetest and most possible sweetest possible way, we let go of our resistance. And that resistance could be that we are not liking some condition we're in, and we're resisting it. It could be we built up stress or tension over the days about things we don't understand or we disagree with. Just let go of the tension. Be in a state of sweet surrender. And let's create some nice flow in our bodies. So some of you will be seated because you need to be. Others of you can be mobile or at least standing. And let's do whatever kind of movement is possible for us. I like to start with the arms because most people can move their arms. Even if you're seated, extend first one arm and then the other, and then again, move the first arm and move it in a little circle, like make a little windmill out of it. Okay? And move your fingers like you're stroking the breeze. Move the other arm, and the same thing. Oh, my call had gone silent. I am so, so sorry about that. I muted in order to cough and forgot to unmute myself. All right, we have been, let's go over this again. We have been moving our hip around. We're down to our hips now. We're turning to the right and to the left. Okay, and we're moving energy down through our spine. And as we do that, it's not just in our spine. You'll find that actually your shoulders are going to open and your whole body will move. Now, let's continue standing, but holding something so you don't lose your balance. I want you to extend your legs far enough to make a little windmill. Move counterclockwise so that you move your leg away from your inner body. That way you got more room, okay? And then the right one is going to go clockwise, okay? Okay, good. In the gentlest kind of way that you can tolerate, bend forward, okay? Bend forward. Now bend your knees just a little bit. Not enough so you're going into a squat, because I know that's hard for some of you. But just bend them a little bit, all right, to get the stiffness out. All right. And want you to move your hips again one more time to get the energy flowing back. You're going to be flowing energy from the Holy Spirit. All of the universe is energy. And the Spirit speaks through distributions of energy. If you've ever felt those little, what we call little God bumps or goosebumps, that's Spirit moving through you. And your body responds to that and feels a temperature change in your body, because that's the energy going through you. I don't know that that will happen for you, but definitely you will be receiving a very large flow of energy at a very subtle level. So now, again, let's have a deep, deep breath. Hold it and blow it out. Once more. Hold it and blow it out. We're going to move into just a mindful breath now. And this is just where it's normal breathing. What you do every minute of your life. But you're going to be aware of it. There's the difference. You're going to realize that it's not only the taking in of air or the giving out of a breath that constitutes breathing. It also includes intake and release. You can expel air and not release it. It's amazing to think that you can, but when you're running and you're expelling air faster than you can get it in, you can start hyperventilating. You're not really releasing the air. You've got to release it. This goes back to what we've been talking about all day, the power of releasing. So let's just, okay, what I want you to do is I want you to inhale now, just a gentle inhale. Count to four. That's why we call it the four square breath. Count to four. And now hold it so that you can really receive it. After you've received it, then exhale and release it. You'll notice a very definite pause occurs. You're not exhaling anymore. And you're not inhaling yet. You're in release. It's very important, because that there are four cycles to all of life. Receiving, inflow, we should call it this way, inflow, and then intake, outflow, and release. If that makes more sense to you, then let's look at it that way. And you can actually calm a panic attack or a little bit of tension in a conversation by just focusing on a mindful breath. You really can actually do that. It doesn't call attention from anyone. No one will know that you're doing it. If you're tense in traffic, do it. Because becoming mindful of this breath will take you into a mindful state of life, where everything in life is done for the good of life and the living. which includes you. Okay. I will open my prayer to Yeshua. And you will follow with your prayer that you draw the blessings in the most perfect way to your need. Dear Lord, Lord of life, of love, of human potential, of showing us all that we are, and helping us to become that potential in all ways for all our aspirations, goals, and desires, for all of our ways of working together, of getting along. Thank you. Thank you for your gifts, your endless gifts of being with us, that we may subtly acquire that which you came to teach us without enforcing it on us, that we may feel and enjoy the power of choosing it. We came here today, O Lord, because we choose you. We choose to walk on the path with you. We choose to be a child of our Father who created the universe. We choose his ways. We choose to honor you. And thank you for giving us the information, the encouragement, the understanding to make the right choices. We ask that you would hear our request for blessings to others who don't yet know the good things they can choose. But when they experience them, they will. We ask that you hear our prayers and bless those we love. We ask blessings for all of humanity, for we all are brothers and sisters in one template of reality, created to be who we are as children of God and servants of good. We surrender ourselves now to receive. We open our hearts, our minds, and our souls to receive unconditionally all that you can bring to us, that you bring us into our best and most wonderful state of union and destiny for that which we were created. In your blessed name, amen, and forever, amen. Blessing givers, will you join me now? Let us offer the blessing for everyone. Amen. Amen. And amen. Your blessings have been given, but there are so many you need to receive. So go and lie down for at least 7 minutes so that the blessings can fill you with all the potential that you will discover and recover in the hours and the days ahead. I wish you a blessed week and look forward to seeing you again next week. Bye-bye for now. God bless.